Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 11th, 2023. 7:04 on the clock, got your host James J here. Hopefully you're having a great Tuesday out there. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
In studio.
Yeah.
Live from in studio.
Yes. Right here, directly from Wisconsin Rapids.
It's good to have you here, Mel. We're going
to
have some fun today.
Yeah, we
are
going to
kick things off in a little bit with our National Day of Calendar. We're looking forward to that. In the 7 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock hour, somewhere in between there, we're going to get into a couple of fun ones. 10 stats. It is National Pet Day. Give you guys a little preview of our National Day of Calendar.
So
we got 10 stats for that. The FBI warning about public phone charging stations.
I saw something on that.
I wanted to get into that. Walmart pulled a t-shirt. We got to get into that one carefully. We got to be careful about that one. How much have people tried to be close to other people in an elevator?
Have they tried?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know about that. We'll see if we have time. If we do, we're going to fit in some random facts, some weird, wacky, fun random facts for ourselves. We'll have fun with that. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to it. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off with our good friend, Katie. She is going to be joining us. Terry Hamas is going to be joining us. She is with the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life.
Yeah, this looks like a lot of fun. I have questions.
Yeah, and we've talked with Terry for, I believe, a couple of years now, and always look forward to this event, to talking with her, and to raising awareness, and any chance we can, to any awareness, any funds towards helping the restoring the Hope Transplant House and the UW Donor Education Fund.
Yes.
I've learned quite a bit about donors and donating from them, from my family. It's a long time thing that I know my family's always cared about, being a donor. And we're going to get into that with Terry a little bit later.
And it's a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
I want more adult scavenger hunts.
I think there should be.
Yes. I actually wonder, maybe we should make have somebody here make us a scavenger hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And, wait a minute. I think I have a better idea. We have, like, somebody from out of like Mike or Sage or somebody make a scavenger hunt for Rapids. They don't know Rapids as well. I think that'd be kind of fun.
It would be funny.
What they would come up with or whatever, anything. It's not as if they're that busy.
They got nothing to do.
Not like they're running multiple stations or anything like that. I'm sure they won't mind if I reach out to them. But hey, Sage, would you mind putting a scavenger hunt together?
You know who would have been great at it? My mom.
Yeah.
She would do, excuse me, she would do scavenger hunts for us occasionally when I was a kid, and she was the best at writing clues.
That's that. Now, see, that makes a good scavenger hunt. Creator. I don't know how you would word that. Creator.
Author.
Oh, I like that. Author. I like that. My mom and dad, like the one birthday party I ever remember having in my 46 years is we were just snowed in. It was the first winter we were out here. And my mom and dad, they invited a bunch of kids over. Like a couple of them showed up, not that many, because I was new and I was not very good at making friends.
Yeah, but you had some show up.
I did have some show up. Yes, I want that written. I want that in the documents.
It's recorded now. We got it.
They made a scavenger hunt for us.
Cool.
But my dad created it pretty much, and my mom threw a couple things in, and you could tell like where my dad wrote things and where my mother did. You know, like there's a handful of salt or something like that, and then there's like drill bits, a certain degree, a screwdriver. You know, things like huh? I wonder who added who. My dad was had his really specific things. My mom was just like, you know, kind of salt. You grab salt from somebody. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a great one. Kids not only are some of the most fun human beings to be around, but they are also some of the most literal things you will ever be around.
Oh, yes.
It's one of the things that I enjoy the most about being around children is the matter of fact of the way that they speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
And our kind of opening story here today features that. And I have to play this for you guys because I'm not saying it's something you've never heard a little kid say before. It's just something to hear a little kid say.
I love being too.
You do?
Yeah.
What age do you want to be?
Five.
What are you going to do when you turn five?
Just be a monster.
Be a monster.
And turn in monster. And don't need be Sophie anymore.
How is it that little kids can sound like the cutest, sweetest thing in the world, and in the last 2 seconds of that sound a little creepy?
Like, don't be Sophie anymore.
Wait, whoa, what was that? What was that last part? What was that? God, that's good.
Yeah, that's cute.
That is a good one right there. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, you know, I'm doing.
Yeah. That's a good response. Oh, that's a good response right there. I hear you. And honestly, you asked me, that's pretty much how I would respond. I also wanted to mention in the 9 o'clock hour, we got some entertainment news. Looking forward to diving into some of that. There's an interesting thing going on with Stranger Things. The Pope's Exorcist, that movie that came out, has got some interesting feedback from that. And Metallica is doing something kind of cool. A little bit after that, part of our good stories, part of our entertainment stories, something I didn't even see until Melissa sent it over to me, about people using dating apps to reach voters in Wisconsin.
That was an interesting article.
Yeah. I'd like to get have some conversation mm-hmm. about it. Those that might not know about it, explain it to them. I'm looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Should be an interesting one. And I got to get your take on this, Melissa. Texas parks and wildlife officials are investigating a mystery after a wildlife camera in the Rio Grande Valley captured an image of an unknown mystery animal. Officials wrote in a post on Bedston Rio Grande Valley State Park Facebook page that a game camera in Rio Grande Valley captured a nighttime image of an animal officials have not yet been able to identify. Quote, is it a new species, an escapee from a nearby zoo, or just a park ranger in disguise? That's what the post says. Regardless, it's thrilling to see such an incredible animal in its natural habitat. Officials wrote that they would keep the public updated on the progress of the investigation. You know that us here at WFHR will stay on this story. And if we find this animal, we'll find out what it is. Comments on the post suggested the animal could be a badger, a wolverine, a bush dog, or potentially an optical illusion caused by two wild hogs passing one another in the opposite direction. I am going to show the image to Melissa. I don't see... I see four legs.
Well, so one, two, three, four. Yep.
I don't think it's the two hogs next to each other or anything.
It looks like it's got one head, and then the body slopes down on the other side, like you would think a tail would. But it also kind of looks like that could be a leg, that could be a snout.
Right. Yeah.
On the back end.
Well, it looks like it could be a mole. A big mole or something like that.
That'd have to be a big mole.
It looks like it could be a... I don't know how to say this. We are very, very, very supportive of body positivity around here. Mm-hmm. We believe in that. We support that 100,000% and everything. It looks like a chubby dog. It looks a little like a sausage. It looks a little like a sausage dog. Like a little, you know, the bit. Dogs with the thin arms and legs, mm-hmm. but they got the chubby belly. Like,
yep.
Looks a little like that.
Mm-hmm. But it's not what I thought at first, and there's no way it could be misidentified as a mini Sasquatch. Because I really thought that's where you were going with the story, but there's no way that it could stand upright on those legs.
I guess not. No, probably
very
not.
Very short legs.
Not with that body. No.
Yeah, more like Doc Allen legs.
Yes. If you get a chance, you can go to the oddities section in the UPI. That's upi.com. Go into their oddities section. You will see this article and get a look at this picture. Otherwise, if you throw it into your search engine, Texas wildlife officials try to identify mystery animal, you should be able to find it.
It looks like a mini hippo.
I like the mini Sasquatch. I like the idea that's how Sasquatches have gotten away with this for so long.
They had to evolve.
They're actually a lot smaller than we realize. Mm-hmm. we've been doing this all wrong. We have them like 7-8 feet tall or whatever. They're actually really tiny.
Yes.
They're really, really small. That's how they've been able to hide from us for so long. And what if this is true with all, like, the Loch Ness Monster, everything? Like, just a little thing. Just a Loch Ness Monster, like, the size of a perch. Like,
That's how they stay hidden.
That's how it works. I get it now. We'll take a break. We will come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We're going to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this April 11th. International Be Kind to Lawyers Day.
Okay.
One of the things they appreciate, being called attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
That's at least my family, my mom's side of the family that has a ton of attorneys on it. It's one of the things they will tell you. This is one of those positions, one of those jobs where one of the oldest jokes I can remember is the attorney or the lawyer chasing an ambulance, you know, that kind of thing. And, ripping and making fun of, lawyers and attorneys and everything.
Yeah. They get a lot of flack.
Until you need one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a little, whole different story and everything. Then all of a sudden it's I have a lot of respect for this position. Thank you for look at the history of people representing themselves in court.
Doesn't usually go well.
Yeah. I got a quick ending for that. No spoiler alert here. I think you know how that one ends.
Mm-hmm.
You want people that know the law. You want people that understand the law.
And law is complicated.
Every day it is literally changing. Every day it is growing and evolving, and something different is happening with it. The people that understand that world, that are in depth in that world, living in that world, really... I don't know. There is an art to it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a science to it, almost even, with it. And there are good attorneys out there. There are so many good people out there that do pro bono work, and so many important things. I say all that, but I don't understand some attorneys, some attorney commercials, I should say. Mm-hmm. I don't know these people. I've never worked with them, never will work with them, wouldn't hire them, anything like that. I don't understand the need for the cowboy hat. How does that make you a better lawyer? Mm-hmm. How every time? In Wisconsin, nonetheless.
I don't see
the tie-in.
But
I don't
those
get
billboards,
it.
I don't like them either.
Over. I don't know. I don't understand how that makes you a better lawyer. Like, that makes you be able to defend me better. Like, can't you just have somebody testimonial or something?
I the ones that I do know personally are very nice people.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. I got to spend a lot of time playing, because I played an attorney about three or five times in my career, the last time being for the TV show, and did a lot of studying, spent a lot of time, got to do some intern work at a law firm out in California for a little bit, knowing then meeting a lot of people in that industry, in that world.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that are burnt out and keep going because there's just not enough attorneys. There's not enough people defending people and such, or vice versa.
And they are trying to address that. Governor Evers put it in his budget, and hopefully the Joint Finance Committee will also write that into theirs.
Big thank you to our public defenders, our people out there that represent people when they don't have any representation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that. You cannot thank, if you know anything about that industry, you cannot appreciate attorneys if you don't appreciate their assistants. There is no way that they do the job they do without the team.
They do the grunt work.
Mm-hmm. National Cheese Fondue Day.
Hey.
Melt together fine cheeses, butter, and wine, and enjoy with all your choice of breads, meats, or even veggies on this delicious National Cheese Fondue Day. Have you ever done any fondue type of thing?
I have, but chocolate.
Okay.
I think I got two fondue pots when I got married. You know, however many years ago that was.
Really? Two fondue, but...
Two of them.
That is the luck. That is
right.
The
I think I used one of them once.
Mm. I've never done that before. I've never done any kind of fondue before. I'd like
to. It's messy. I mean, it's fun. And I've seen it at, weddings or parties where they have, a fondue kind of station.
Yeah.
The chocolate fountains and...
It was pretty popular for a long time, doing at celebrate. It probably still is. I don't know. I haven't been to a wedding or anything in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Fondue has been around as a concept for hundreds of years, but cheese fondue is generally recognized to have come into existence in 1875 when the original recipe was published. Before then, there was a dish called fonda. I think that's how I'd say that. But it was more like a scramble, as there were eggs and sometimes truffles. No, not the chocolate kind, though. The truffles were mixed in. While the newer concoction had the two ingredients we see on this day, there was an issue because the sauce was continually trying to separate, requiring extra time and care to make the dish. However, right around 1905, cornstarch was introduced to Switzerland and solved that problem quite handedly.
Cornstarch is pretty cool.
It does a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
Where's
it's
National
Corn? With, too.
Yeah, it is. Where's National Cornstarch Day? Come on. National Equal Pay Day.
This is a good one.
this is not only a good one, I think this should be one until we get it, you know, we get this right.
Like, yeah.
Every day it should be National Equal Pay Day until something is done about this, or it's
just
right.
Just need one more state to agree, and it'll be law.
Throughout the last century, there have been an ongoing and active fight to solve a problem that has existed for longer than that. Women have ever since history and work began been paid lower wages for doing the exact same job. And the gap gets even wider when women of color are considered in comparison to white men. Mm-hmm. Equal Pay Day encourages people to get out there and fight for true employment equality for everyone, no matter their gender or the color of their skin. Isn't it time people were paid what they were worth? Yeah. We ask this of our society all the time. You and I talk about this from whenever we have a chance, really, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Look at people, not parties. That's why Melissa and I are such big believers in ranked choice voting in that. Mm-hmm. We are looking at you, looking at a person, and not any of these other factors. I will say what it takes to get this right, we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just about equality. I would love that if it was about equality and unity. It is. This is also about the economy. Because you're always going to have these people that are going to push back on these things, Melissa. And these are the people I love to reach out to and talk to. I don't want to argue. I don't want to fight with them. I just want to throw some knowledge at them and let them do whatever they're going to do with it. And for those people pushing back on this, what do you think would happen with our economy if everybody was being paid equally? A rising tide raises all boats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if someone is qualified for the job, they have the education needed, they have, you know, they check all the boxes and all of these things, why shouldn't they make the same amount as another person doing that exact same job? That's, I just, the concept for that is so simple.
And we certainly appreciate all the people that have paved the way for this to get as far as we have in this subject. But we got ways to go.
Oh, yeah. And some businesses are doing it themselves, which is awesome. And if they all would, that would be wonderful. Do you think that's going to happen? Probably not.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah.
National Barbershop Quartet Day.
Hey. Nice job.
I will say that the B-Sharps are my favorite barbershop quartet band of all time. Mm. They are an animated band that Homer Simpson was in, and the Simpsons and everything, and they're not real, but I'm still a big fan of them.
I was going to be impressed for a moment that you could whip out a barbershop quartet group.
I should have just left it there. I should have added that other one. I will say this. It seems kind of fun to be a part of like a quartet,
mm-hmm.
to do the, because I'm not a singer. I can sing enough to get a role. That's about as close as I get. Nobody's giving me a record deal. I think that it seems kind of fun to practice, to get unison, to get chemistry that. I love the chemistry that we've built here at the station, UI, Seth, that kind of stuff. I like working with another actor and that chemistry. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it feels like it might be similar to that when you all get your harmonies in row and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I got to do that with a group of girls. We were the Taffetas.
It was
the name of a show.
Okay.
And it's a group of four girls, sisters, trying to get on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, yes. I know this one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we did the show twice, 11 years apart.
Wow.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. You get really close, knowing that you can rely on each other to sing the four parts. I mean, we're very often in four-part harmony. And it's such a joy to be able to just fit right in.
So much of entertainment is a trust fall.
Uh-huh.
It's so much. I love it, though. I'm just so in love with the idea of that, of trusting somebody like that on stage or in a song or something like that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It is also World Parkinson's Day. On the birthday of Dr. J. Parkinson, the first to describe and diagnose the disease, learn about Parkinson's, donate or volunteer, and raise awareness. Another one of these diseases that is running laps over us. Robin Williams, Hunter S. Thompson, two of my greatest, biggest influences of my life taken from severe Parkinson's. We got Michael J. Fox
Michael J. Fox,
you know, with that. And I'm only bringing up these famous names to kind of bring like a face to the disease for people. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, we've discovered through HIV and through some other things that this is a lot of how we get some stuff done. And while we continue to bicker with each other about this and that and everything, these diseases just continue to run game on us.
Yes.
So hopefully we bring awareness to this stuff and we can kind of put our focus where it should be in fighting these diseases. Because I'll tell you what, we get rid of Parkinson's, we get rid of cancer, all these things. Then you want to sit around and bicker about political parties and stuff like that. I'm fine. Sure. you solve world hunger, equal pay, child care, these kind of things. All right, cool. Then you guys want to bicker about political parties? That's fine. Until then, don't talk to me about that stuff. Get out of here, man. Miss me with that. Get some stuff done. Get some work done.
You know, it'd be really nice if all of the huge profits that these drug companies made, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with those big profits if they were being put to use to solve these diseases and these problems that we have in our society. But that's not what's happening.
No. The rich are getting richer. That's the top one. That top 1% is no, you know, did you see this the other day? It's no longer a top 1%. It's so thin, it's not even a full percent of how many of them there are compared to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's sickening. And it's happening on our watch.
Because we're letting it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. James Parkinson, an English doctor and scientist, first described the disease in an essay on the shaking palsy, which was published in 1817. He described a pattern of lessened muscular power, involuntary tremulous motion, even if these are supported. He also wrote the fact that there is a tendency for people with this disease to bend the body forward and to involuntarily switch from a walking to a running pace. It's important and it's good to know the different forms of Parkinson's and the different causes of it. Mm-hmm. And just being a supporter, being understanding, I think one of the best ways you can do that is just understanding the disease better, how it's caused, and how you can help fight it.
Mm-hmm.
It's National Submarine Day.
Hey.
Submarines, pretty cool.
We all live in the yellow submarine.
Would you go in a submarine?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, I would too. Sure. Yeah. I've asked this question before, and some people are, no, I wouldn't. I don't know.
I'm not claustrophobic. I would imagine that people who are would be a little hesitant.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be a little freaky at first, but I'd definitely do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to turn down the opportunity. Some people may find it hard to believe that the first recorded submarine or submersal was built by Cornelius Drebbel in 1620.
Wow.
This was one of Carl's favorite. I remember this one. Carl really got into this. This underwater ship was apparently built for James I of England for use in London. Although why anyone would want to plunge beneath the surface of a 17th century Thames is difficult to understand. The original versions of submarines were built to hold only one or two passengers, but modern versions are made to hold up to 100.
Wow.
On April 11th in 1900, this is the date when the United States government purchased its first commissioned submarine named the USS Holland. And I want to, because I don't think they have a picture of it, I want to show this to Melissa here, what this looked like. And I mean, it's not, I think that when we think of things of the past, we tend to think of stuff like, wow, how did that work or whatever. You see the Wright brothers' first plane. I think this is a really good looking first submarine.
Yeah.
Like that thing is very well built, I think.
It looks very similar to a boat, but it's just more aerodynamic and honestly doesn't look all that different from submarines today.
No. I think that's pretty darn cool. Like, way to get it right the first time, guys.
Yeah.
obviously, they've built them since. And the USS Holland was the United States Navy's first commissioned submarine, named for the Irish-American inventor John Philip Holland. It is important to note that this was not actually the first submarine of the U.S. Navy, which was the 1862 Alligator. But this boat was originally laid down as Holland the Sixth and launched on the 17th of May in 1897.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing that for a long time.
Well, and they certainly liked it in the movie world. They've made a lot of movies about submarine. My personal favorite is Down Periscope.
I was just going to say Down Periscope. I swear to all that is. I was going to say Kelsey Grammer and Down Periscope.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's the best movie.
I thought Hunt for Red October. I thought, you know, something like, nope, we both had the same one. Oh, that was good. Well, although Hunt for Red October is very good.
It is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
Is that the one with... Yeah, that's one with Sean Connery
now, Baldwin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went into that movie like... the one with Denzel, too. Denzel's in a really
Crimson
good one.
Crimson Tide?
Yes, Crimson Tide. Yes, Crimson Tide is very good. Very good. One of the things I think is so cool about those movies is when it's done right, you got to walk into a movie like that like, okay, well, there's not a lot of sets. They're just kind of stuck in this build. Like, how can they make this interesting? And they do. Mm-hmm. When you put great actors in a building, you know, and all that stuff and everything, and a good script, like, they can make even being a submarine interesting. Yeah. I think that's really good power, like, storytelling.
Cary Grant was even in one.
Yes.
Destination Tokyo.
Destination Tokyo, yeah. Not one of his greater movies, but I like it because it's Cary Grant. And I love everything that Cary Grant ever did. Mm-hmm. I genuinely have never saw Cary Grant do a bad performance.
Well, it says
or a bad scene, for that matter. And finally, it's National Pet Day. Give a little extra love and pampering to your pet, or if you can, take the plunge to enrich your life and the life of a smaller friend by adopting a pet. Pets are great. Pets are awesome. We talk about pets all the time around here, especially on Thursdays in the 9 o'clock hour when we have our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society join us.
Yes.
Shout out to Madison and the gang over there. Be sure to be joining us this Thursday when they join us again. Madison will be in studio with us. Not sure what little furry friend she'll bring. It's always a mystery to us. It's always fun. But I can tell you, if you go to the Southwick County Humane Society's webpage, their Facebook group, you can see a lot of their pets. You can see the ones that they're talking about and the ones that are there for adoption. It is kitten season. I want to remind you, so if you are picking up kitten food for your cat, if you can get some extra, drop it off. Greatly appreciate it.
For sure.
And for you little, you know, guys out there and all the pets listening, because I've said this before, I want to get our streaming numbers and all of our ratings. We've had great streaming numbers since Civic joined, you know, we joined Civic and everything. But they could always be better. So let's get the dogs, the cats, the fish, monkeys, sugar gliders, raccoons. I want everybody listening out there, all the animal kingdom listening. It includes all of our friends, the pets.
We appreciate you.
Pets give. They do. Mm-hmm. And yes, do we have to pick up after them?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Do they sometimes annoy us at times? Yes, yes. Could you? I want you to imagine the world without pets.
Mm.
Take a second. Take a minute.
I can't.
Really focus. Really try to do it. You can't. You can't do it. We have domesticated them to a point where they are our seeing eye dogs. They are, therapy animals. Mm-hmm. There are so many different things that our animal kingdom does for us, where our pets do for us and everything. Yeah. The least we can do is treat them right, give them a world that's right. And I don't know, maybe don't adopt, get exotic pets. You know, leave them where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. And if you can't fully take care of a pet, then don't have one.
Yep. Yep. It's as hard as it is. I cannot tell you how many dogs I wish I had right now. All you got to do is count how many times Madison's joined us for the pet of the week. And you can count exactly how many animals I would have right now, because there's not a single one, not the rabbit Roger, not any of the dogs, nothing that I wouldn't have turned down, I wouldn't adopt. I don't have the space. I don't have the time. I cannot do it. It's not fair to the animal. It's selfish of me. It's what I want when I come home and I get to see the dog and blah, blah, blah and all that, but that's not good for the dog.
No.
So you're absolutely right. Got to do it right by the animal on this National Pet Day. We're going to take a break, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. We just got started. Is it closing time? Wait. We got like 2.5 hours left. Oh, great. They're playing closing time. All right. Well, I guess this is the end of the show, everybody. I don't know. We got like sponsors to take care of and a lot of commercials to get in here really quick, but we got to hurry up and do this. So you heard the guy. It's closing time. Let's get moving. I wonder. If I was a bar, I'd be a horrible bartender. I would play this song like at 7 o'clock, just to mess with people.
That's what it should be played. I don't think they should use this song to close down bars. It's kind of tacky.
It does feel a little.
It kind of ruins the song. I like the song.
It's not a bad song. No, it's not a bad song. Now, you know what I like is songs like this. Is when we get to this point in time where it's not overplayed a billion times and everything, so they have a little bit more of a nostalgia kind of feel to them and everything. Let's get back to it. Melissa and James here with you at 7:41 on the clock. A little bit later before the end of the hour, we're going to talk about something McDonald's is doing. And we've got some other fun stuff from the FBI about public phone chargers I want to get into. But right now, 10 stats and facts about for National Pet Day.
Okay.
Dogs are still the most common, and cats are next as far as a poll, according to a new recent poll. According to this recent poll, 58% of us have at least one pet at home. It's over half.
Wow.
I don't believe that number has ever been higher since they've been recording this data. Dogs, again, are the most common. Cats are next. 70% of pet owners have at least one dog, and 54% have a cat. So a lot of us have both. Fish are a distant third, around 3% of households. Then it's birds, reptiles, rodents, and rabbits. I'm surprised to see rabbits so low on the list.
Yeah, and that, well, I guess it doesn't really surprise me that reptiles are as high as they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are pretty popular.
There are 85 million dogs in America and over 60 million cats.
Wow.
And that is not including strays.
Right. Those are pets.
Interesting. That's some pretty big numbers right there. Dogs ever figure out how to use those thumbs? I mean,
we're done for.
We're done. That never happened. They want pets too much. They want they at least keep some of us around to pet them. You know,
somebody's got to make the food.
Somebody's got to do it. 40% of us are dog people, and 20% of us are cat people. Just over 30% like both equally, and 8% don't like cats or dogs. Do you consider yourself a pet person or either of these? Or
yeah, I like animals. I like pets. I like cats and dogs. I'm not. The thing I don't like about having a pet is cleaning up after it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of my biggest deterrent. I shed enough hair already that I have a hard time keeping up with my hair.
It's
Cannot imagine adding another furry creature to it.
It's not fair. Yeah,
but I also don't really want to own a reptile. I mean, if I have a pet, I'd want one that can, you know, that I can pet.
I would not underestimate it or anything like some people do. Fish tanks can take some work, but you get it up and running and everything, and they kind of run themselves. And other than taking a gallon or two out a month, you know, every once in a while, really not a lot of maintenance. I think they could be a lot of fun. You just can't pet them.
If you do them right.
If you do them right, yeah.
Right. I mean, I had a fish tank when I was a kid, and I had a Picassimus, so
it would eat
the algae, but it couldn't clean the whole tank.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Picassimuses are, they're the one of the best bottom feeders and strongest bottom feeders. They can only do so much. They only got the one suction. They only got the... I consider myself both. I lean towards dogs because I've had cats, and I haven't ever had my own dog. And that's why when I say dog so much and everything, because I've never had my own dog, and that's something I will have before I am in the dirt. That will happen.
Will happen.
We don't trust people as much if they don't like pets. Over a third of Americans say it makes them seem less trustworthy. I would say that for me, a person that doesn't like pets or animals tends to have other qualities that stand out to me that makes them that. Like, as far as untrustworthy, I wouldn't go on that soul alone. Like, oh, you don't like dogs or cats, so you're an untrustworthy person. For me, myself, I wouldn't judge them on that. But there's usually, more times than not, the people I can think of off the top of my head, there's been other factors. That information wasn't necessarily necessary for me to make that decision that I don't consider them trustworthy.
Well, and I don't think that it goes the opposite direction either. I wouldn't necessarily trust somebody that likes pets.
Agreed.
Solely on that reason.
Agreed. Yeah, that's a very good point. 91% of pet owners say their pet is part of the family.
Mm-hmm. 33% of dog owners also say their dog is one of their best friends. 21% of cat owners said the same. And 14% also just feel like they're a cat's servant sometimes.
That's accurate.
That is very accurate. That is. It's not as if the cat's doing anything necessarily to do that. It's the look of the cat. Mm-hmm. Dogs give you so many facial expressions. You know, they give you so many things. Cats, kind of like one take. It's like, what? This is the look I give. This is what you're getting. When I'm happy, when I'm angry, when I'm frustrated, when you don't know how I feel, this is the look. I like
figure
that.
Figure it out.
I definitely, I mean, you hear me almost every day on the air say my little fur brother, Sam. Mm-hmm. I call him my fur brother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 83% of Americans think pets are capable of love. 88% of dog owners think that their dogs love them, and 81% of cat owners said the same. 100%.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And you can especially tell with cats because they are affectionate toward their humans, but not toward strangers typically.
When I was cat sitting this weekend for Bria, I go into the house and right away, Ruby, right there, like a dog, there to greet me and everything. And I have not been around Ruby more than one time. So I wasn't sure how this was going to go or anything like that. Couldn't have been sweeter to me. Comes right up and rubbing up against the legs and everything. Mm-hmm. And just a very sweet cat.
Nice.
More than half of pet owners let their pets sleep with them. 60% said yes, at least sometimes. I don't think dogs like sleeping by my feet. I move around a lot.
Yeah.
I think they get very frustrated with me. They get frustrated with me. I don't try to kick them out of bed or anything, but I don't think they like sleeping. But with my big old feet, it's size 12 feet. I mean, they can be dangerous.
Well, and some cats, I've heard this from friends, and actually I think I had a cat for a little while. I was keeping it for a friend, and he liked to sleep like on your head.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. On your head.
Mandy, my ex-wife, as a wedding gift, I got her a cat. We named it Bailey. Bailey liked to wake you up by patting you on the nose.
Oh, nice.
Like, just patting you on the nose. Hey, notice my food dish is only half full. Yeah, there's new food. There's food in there, but it's from yesterday.
Yeah,
it's not
new food.
Hey. just right on the nose until you were finally going to get up. Most cat and dog owners have talked to their pet at length before. Not only have I talked to the pets in my life, I've done monologues with them. I practice lines with them.
They're good listeners.
They are very good listeners. Very good listeners. 60% of dog owners and 52% of cat owners do this. It's actually, I think, very healthy.
Oh, yeah.
They say talk to plants. They tell you to, you know, we are speakers. We are vocal creatures.
Mm-hmm. It's the medium that we share I would say, easiest way to share your feelings and your thoughts.
Yeah. Sometimes. you're 100% right, Melissa. I'm just picking. I'm just nitpicking.
Right. Well, of course. I mean, we're not good at it. No,
yeah,
but
that's all I was thinking
it is
of.
The easiest way.
It is. Yeah. 58% of us think walking a cat on a leash is fine. Only 6% strongly disapprove.
Well, their cats probably also strongly disapprove. Some cats don't like it. Some do. Yes.
It's very true. 56% of pet owners have bought their pet a birthday or Christmas present before. 38% have thrown a party or birthday celebration for a pet. And 24% have dressed them up in a costume for a special occasion. Mm-hmm. I have dressed two dogs up for Halloween before. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten plenty of treats and you know, gifts for dogs or whatever, and cats and stuff before. I have never thrown a birthday party for an animal, though.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a bridge too far for me. That just is a little too far for me. I can't do that one. Maybe I'd show up at a pet birthday party.
If you were invited.
Yeah, if I was invited, yeah. But I don't know if I would necessarily, I wouldn't do one. I couldn't see, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah.
And finally, 48% of Americans think pets can go to heaven. 95% of people in that group think their pet will go to heaven. all these stats, all this information is interesting. It's fun. Also brings me back to the point of, you know, making sure that we are helping our humane societies as much as we can. Mm-hmm. We are doing what we can for the animal kingdom as best we can. You know? Yeah. I think this time of year, it's always a good idea to remind people to look under their vehicles if you park outside at night. Mm-hmm. A lot of wild animals sleep under there. You don't want anything bad to happen to those. And again, you know, helping our humane societies as best you can. And of course, if you have a pet in your life, you'll spoil it today.
Take good care of it.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa and James here with you. I'm about to do some breakdancing.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I gotta see.
I can still do two or three moves.
Really?
Yep. Over the weekend. I think for Thursday's class, I had a student call me out. Mr. Maloff, you said before that you could do this. We don't believe you can. So on the Skype, I pushed the camera back and everything. I'm like, no, you challenged me. Now I got to do it. Uh-huh. I did my spin. I did the leg pump. And I almost did the worm. I didn't get it down though. They said I got it good enough. I didn't. Not like 13-year-old James could do it. Yeah. It's very disappointing. In my defense, I didn't have cardboard. We used to walk around with these big things of cardboard, and we'd walk like for blocks with these things. Like one of us would have a boombox, somebody would have that, and it was like we were going to play basketball or something like that. The way we would treat it, the way mm-hmm. we were so determined. Like we practiced. Breakdancing was big.
And I suppose the cardboard was because you could then do it anywhere.
Yeah. You didn't want to be doing a spin move on concrete.
Oh, no.
I've seen like kids try time. That. Yes, I've seen that. It's not end well. Yeah. We want to thank our friends at the Weather Center for joining us. Always appreciate them. We, of course, after CBS News is done informing you at the top of the hour, we'll be joined live and direct from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Yesterday, we got to talk to Laura Lockwood.
Yeah, that was cool.
Awesome. I haven't talked to Laura in a long time. Mm-hmm. I believe she mentioned that Paul would be back with us today. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk with him. We'll get an update from him and let us know what Mother Nature is up to for today and throughout the week. Now, right after we're done talking with them, we're going to get into how many of Gen Zers want 4-day work weeks. Something McDonald's is up to. I want to touch on that as well.
All right.
But for right now, I know that you saw something about this, and I wanted to touch on it as well, because I honestly had not seen too many different articles about it. Public phone charging stations are very popular. If they were politicians, they'd be elected in a landslide. But like politicians, they can apparently be corrupted. The FBI issued a warning against using public charging stations in places like airports, hotels, and shopping centers. They say that bad guys have figured out ways to use public USB ports to introduce malware and monitoring software onto devices. So you could be unknowingly connecting your phone to bad stuff through the USB, which includes software that can give hackers access to your device. There's a simple workaround, though. Just bring your full charging cable with you with the brick. Mm. There aren't any issues with charging through a plug. It's just when you stick your cable directly into a USB port.
Gotcha.
So bring your own port, bring your mm-hmm. own cord, should be fine. You could still use the outlet. I think that's what we're really looking for is the outlet. Yeah. We're not, most people have a port with them or a cord. I've forgotten it millions of times too. I'm not saying we don't forget, but half the time it's you've got the devices, you just don't got an outlet. You don't got nowhere mm-hmm. to plug it in. The plugging in is fine. The electricity itself is perfectly fine. it's more of this malware from these cowards and everything.
Well, and it's getting a little harder though in some places, like in hotel rooms. Now they just put a USB port on a lamp or on the front of a dresser.
We have to get better at this stuff with the convenience of some of these things and the knowledge of, hey, okay, you can use this, but this is the chance that you are taking. Mm-hmm. And why are we paying all this money for these devices, these supercomputers, these wonderful things that we carry around with us that can be so helpful and so useful and everything, but they do not every single one of them come with where to protect you from all of these things?
Yeah.
Why is that? Mm-hmm. Huh.
Why would that be? Why would a company not put a device in there that is just as simple as adding 9,000 other devices that they put on?
Yeah. Apple's, protect their customers.
Yeah, yeah. Apple's going to be coming out with a new iPhone any minute now. Like, it may have already happened as I was saying this. Mm. On that new update, they're going to have probably a new camera lens, a new way for you to be able to film movies or talk on social media or something like that. What's the new safety update?
Yeah.
But the only time they care about this stuff is when there's a hack. Then they start telling you, about, oh, our security is the best and we've got the security, blah, blah, blah. They don't give you free security.
Mm-mm.
They don't give you free, like, why?
They'll give you free credit monitoring for a year.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they do that? Well, if my phone dies, then I need a new phone. And it just they're not making enough. It's not enough that these phones cost thousands of dollars now.
Yeah.
That they need you to buy two or three. That they need, you know, that's not enough. We should be demanding from these companies that every single cell phone from every single company comes with malware. It comes with safety for against mm-hmm. malware and all this stuff.
Some protection for the customers.
Yeah. Yeah, as much as we're paying for this stuff. I mean, again, worst contract I've ever signed in my life, phone contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had my agent Aaron because I knew I'd be saying that statement again. I've signed over 40 different acting contracts in my career, and not a darn one of them pales in comparison to a phone contract. And not a darn bit of that phone contract gives me any security. Mm-hmm. None of it.
Nope.
It's ridiculous the way that they do that stuff. Need to be smarter because they're not going to do it for us.
That is the case.
Being smarter.
Unfortunately, that's what we have to do. Protect ourselves.
All you got to do is just carry a cord around with you everywhere. How hard is that?
I mean,
it's not
going to
be inconvenient at all. It's not going
to
be. I like the idea of somebody just like they never even unplug it. Everywhere they carry
it
their phone,
has a tail.
It's just got a tail. It's just got the tail and with the little plug at the bottom.
The brick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the brick at the bottom of it. Just whacking things, catching it on stuff. What? Nobody ever
this
taught
is what
them
you
to
gotta
unplug
do
it.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to be safe. We will take a break. We'll come back after CBS News with a live and direct update from the weather. Our Weather Center. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning at WFHR.